Hello and welcome back to the podcast. My guest today is Claire Alexander.
Hello.
I'm going to call you a good friend because I feel like you helped me so much. But yeah, it's a good friend of mine. So Claire, for the purpose of everyone listening, explain what it is, what you do. Well, firstly, Who Dares Wins. What does that mean to you and when have you dared and won?
So She Who Dares Wins to me is really something that's close to my heart because I feel it's feel the fear and do it anyway. And I wouldn't be sitting here with you now if I hadn't felt the fear and done it anyway, because what led me here is motorcycling. And I got on a bike and I was absolutely terrified
and I fell off immediately.
I thought, I'm never going back. I'm never going back. But my husband actually just gave me a kick up the arse. It's like, come on, you can do this. I was like, you know what? I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep doing this. And I did it. It took me a year and then I passed my test. I was so proud that I kept getting up, getting on with it and trying and trying and trying, because it is that persistence.
Like,
if you can do that. And so because I was able to ride a bike and pass my test, it then gave me the confidence to start my own business.
Okay.
And I was like, what's the worst can happen? Like, there is a very real fear of death.
Kill myself on the bike.
Yeah.
Death. So, starting a business,
it's not scary now.
Yeah.
So I feel like that is what it means to me, is like She Dares Wins, is just to go for it, feel that fear, and just really try and do something and know that you aren't going to, it isn't going to be amazing the first time. Like, you've got to keep going before you perfect something. You're not going to win overnight. It's a long-term thing, whatever you do.
Okay, so motorbiking and then the world of fashion. So your business at the moment has like merged the two.
Yes.
What is your experience and what was your journey like in the fashion world?
Oh God. The fashion world, at first it was like, I never felt like I really fitted in. But I felt I had to fit in. It was very fast. I worked for some sort of fast fashion suppliers at the beginning. And there were some really good experiences. It's all female and some of them were really, really good. But I worked with a couple of really, really bad ones as well. And that made me realize that I didn't really want to do this forever. I was going to burn out. Like, you're working so hard and you're constantly being pushed to sell, because I was working in sales at the time. And it's like, you have to hit your sales guns every single week. You're selling into Topshop, ASOS, Warehouse, etc. And you're like, you're pushing constantly. And then I realized then it wasn't a thing about fast fashion. It became apparent over time that this isn't good. This isn't good for the environment. This isn't good for all of us. And I decided to think, not only is it not sustainable as an industry, it's not sustainable for me. So I then switched to work for a supplier that was supplying in Europe to smaller brands. And I realized how nice it was to be working with small brands. You're working with smaller teams. They really care. They're completely passionate, not faceless. And I've really enjoyed that. And I started to think, I want to work more with brands. And then obviously I passed my test as biking and I came here. We were at Bike Shed.
Yeah.
Love it. And I was chatting with Vicky, who's one of the owners, and she was saying, we need somebody on the retail team. This was 5 years ago now. And I said, oh, okay, that sounds interesting. And then I met Dutch and Gareth and that was it. They were like, come work here. So I did. I'm still here now, but over lockdown and COVID, that led me to setting up a consultancy because I knew I love working here, great small brand, but I wanted to do something for myself as well. And that's how I set up the business, is with that passion of working with small brands drove me to do that. And so now I combine the two. So I'm still here. I still work here 2 days a week as head of production. You can see most of the stuff around you is apparent what I do. I make the design and develop the clothes with Gareth, our creative brand director, and we bring the ranges in. I work with the factories, developing the product, sourcing the fabrics, costing everything, you know, controlling the budget, making sure everything's selling at the right price. And yeah, I'm able to take that expertise and utilize that and help small brands, you know, lean on what I know to help them. I think your story is so perfect to many women out there that like get your first job out of uni or what you think is going to be your passion. And then so many people, myself included, when I was in that stage in my life, were looking out thinking, I don't necessarily want to be doing this my whole time, but I don't know how to make the jump to the next step. And it's weird, isn't it, how things kind of fall into place if you're open to opportunities.
Yeah.
And like where you were ultimately kind of did get you to where you are now.
Exactly. Yeah.
But it wasn't necessarily the path of the right company that you were working for, but now it is.
Yeah.
How do you think you made that transition? Do you think it was just from just being open to like opportunities or a chance, or do you think it was mindset?
I think it was a bit of all of those things to me, but because I was very open because I knew I wasn't happy in the career I was in.
Yeah.
And the opportunity came about from here. And I knew in my mind, something had to change. And when I was presented with an opportunity, I just took it.
Yeah.
So I was like, this is my chance to move out of like typical fashion, high street fashion, and into something else. And I'm much more passionate about developing the product than like the fashion side of it, keeping up with the latest trends. I'm much more driven by quality and the whole process of bringing it into store. So yeah, I think it was a bit of everything, like definitely be open to opportunity and, you know, things can work out in your favor if you say yes.
Yeah, I find it's so common on this podcast, like the one theme that runs is just being curious.
Yeah.
And allowing, you know, yourself to do things and then the next step comes and things kind of do fall into place. I suppose there's a nice switch up there. So have you ever had like a big, not a career mess up, but like, have you ever done something and failed miserably at it, but it's taught you something?
Oh, loads of times.
Give us a good one. Give us a good juicy one.
So in my previous career, I do a couple. So in my previous career, I got one of the costings wrong. So like you're giving buyers prices. So you're developing product, you're sending it to them, they're choosing it out of the range of products you're selling. And then you're working out the price. So you're the zips, the fabric, the make, this, that. And I massively got the fabric consumption wrong in a garment that we made. So when I sold it to the buyer, we were making a minus.
Oh, wow.
So it's a huge issue.
Yeah. Okay.
It was probably the biggest cock up ever.
Right.
But I managed to solve it. Okay. Like I learned from it. And one of the things I've learned is triple check everything that you do. But I was able to negotiate with the buyer and able to negotiate with the factory and the fabric mill to try and bring it down. I mean, we still didn't make any money, but we didn't make a loss.
Right.
But it was one of those things where it's like, oh my God, what are you doing? As long as I'm not pulling the rest of the margin down. But it was like, I really learned from that. It's like triple check everything. And the other thing is, I've had many failed launches in my own business in the consultancy for, you know, I've done, last Friday I did a Black Friday offer, nobody bought because I wasn't prepared and I wasn't convinced that when I look back now, I was like, I didn't really prepare for it in a strategic way. And was I really convinced about my own offer? And since then I've done another 4 launches and every time I've done it, I've got better at it and better at
it.
And this time it led to sales.
Yeah.
And I think it's that thing of keep going.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, that didn't work. What can I try differently this time? Okay, I need to be really present. If I'm not showing up,
yeah,
how can I expect to sell? So each time I've like refined it down, and I feel that people are now more open to seeing me as like selling stuff. So I think before maybe they weren't.
Right.
So
yeah, it's keep going with stuff.
It's like grit, isn't it? It's just the step. It will work.
Yeah, this is going to happen. But it is just like, you've got to keep pushing and like, don't give up at the first like failure. And we can't, yeah, I mean, I've done launches with other people as well. And we're like, wow, that hasn't worked. And then we've done ones that are really successful, which like taking those learnings, they're not really failures.
Yeah.
And it's like, don't look at it in that way. And it won't affect your mindset.
Yeah.
Like, it is hard to keep selling through the silence.
Yeah.
It is. I'm not going to say it's not.
Yeah.
It isn't easy. And you've got to keep going, keep pushing. But people are watching and listening to what you're doing. It's just they're not ready to buy from you yet. So I felt like, to just keep going and be really resilient about it. It's worked.
Keep turning up, yeah.
But hopefully I can build on like every small win. I'm like, well, that worked. Okay, let's do that again and let's create more things that are, you know, going to work for you. Yeah, so keep going.
It's like the analogy of, I guess, when you were learning to ride a bike. What was that like? Because we've discussed that it's kind of something that I think I've got to do.
Yeah.
So
the reason why I started in the first place was because my husband rides a bike.
Right.
And he basically, we were getting married and he was like, should we hire some bikes? We'll go to California, we'll ride down the PCH.
Nice.
It's like, nice. And he went, you can either ride on the back, ride bitch, that's what he said, or you can get a license and ride your own bike. I was like, oh, hell yeah, I want to do that. Now you've presented me with the options.
Yeah.
What sounds better? I'm like, of course. So that's what led me to starting. But what it led to was so much more than just riding a bike, because it led to a huge community.
Right.
And the fear was very real, not going to lie. And I have to credit my husband, Jay, because if he hadn't have kicked me up the bum, I might have given up. Was having someone there to keep me going, say, come on, you can do this, especially when it's cold and horrible. Like, I've got to go out and do a road ride a day with a bike school. But I think having that end goal, like I can imagine, envisage myself like riding this sunny climate on this amazing road, sort of kept me going. So having that goal was really important. And I think anyone, like, they can dream and that envisage that picture of them with a wind through their hair on like a sunny day. If you keep that in mind, then it can keep you going. But like, I didn't know there was a huge community of female riders.
Well, I was going to ask you, so did you, before that point when he put that offer on the table, were you seeing women riders? Because that was before you worked here. Because I've been kind of a little bit obsessed with like kind of motorcycles, and there isn't a lot. I know the VC girls. But there's not a huge amount. So like, I guess you're stepping into like a new community. How did that feel?
It was really scary. So at first, I think social media is great for seeing other women on bikes, because it's the one thing that when I was learning to ride, I was seeing all these cool women riders. I was like, oh my God, I want to be like that. I want to be. And then I was like, well, there's obviously people doing it. And I'd heard of BC, and they do a monthly meetup here. We've done it for, I think it must be 6 years now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And it's the first Wednesday of every month. That I remember coming here because I'd heard about it, and I'd like message them on Instagram. I was like, oh, can I come? I haven't passed my test yet. And they're like, of course, come down. And they were super friendly. And I got Jay to wait in the restaurant. I'm so scared of coming on my own.
Oh, he gave you
in
the
group. Because I was like, oh my God, I don't know anybody.
Yeah, yeah, it's true.
It's
like
a scary feeling going into a room and you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You've not done something. And there's a group of people you don't know, but you're like, I want to go and chat to them and see what this is all about. And they were so nice.
Oh, amazing. Like,
6 years later, fast forward, and we're all friends. And I now am an instructor and help other women ride in our summer school that we do with Herald Motorcycles. So
they're passing the baton on. And what's that like? Yeah. What's that like? That's when you spend your time really teaching other people, whether it's in fashion.
I know.
Or on bikes. Like, did you ever think the teaching would come into it, or like the enjoyment you get from that, or has that just been a natural?
I never thought I'd I never thought I'd be a good enough writer to even, you know, pass it on to other women. It just didn't even enter my head. And then I guess over time you ride for a while and you're talking to other people that are just starting out and you're like, oh yeah, I do know a little bit.
Yeah.
And then Gemma from VC, she's like, do you want to come and instruct from out in our summer school with Harold? And I was like, oh, that's really nice. I'd love to. I was still a bit like, why can't we have to teach people? But we did our Nora training, and we did our, you know, we laid out our score and how it's supposed to be and what the lessons are going to be. And I felt the first time I was really nervous. But after seeing how people reacted to, like, you teaching them how to ride and then them getting on the bike and going from, oh my God, I'm terrified, to actually riding around in a circle going, yeah. It was such a nice feeling. And I hadn't expected what I would gain from teaching that. I hadn't realised how good it would make me feel.
Yeah.
Watching other people like get on a bike and like hit it. And a lot of them have stories of like, oh my God, like I did my CBT and it was awful. I had a really crap experience. Or I just ride on the back of my partner's bike. So I've never thought about riding, but I saw this school advertiser, I thought I'd try it and do it for themselves.
And I think it's so nice. Do you find that women learn differently? So I went on a snowboard camp when I was like 23, I think, and I could already snowboard quite well, but yeah. I went to Europe, I was like, screw it. And it was an all girls camp. And I found it so good because the ability was not I won't say different, but then people were like, oh, girls aren't as fast as boys, but we're not generally as fast on snowboards. That's just how it is. But it was so much more enjoyable to learn with girls than it was when, you know, I was snowboarding with my boyfriend and some mates, and they would be a lot faster than me. Not technically better, but that was important. And I just found that, and sometimes I'd shy away from that because working in a male-dominated environment, I was like, oh, you know, I can just do stuff with men all the time. Like, I'm not actually pussy. I'm probably more scared of going into groups with groups of women because I wasn't used to it. But do you find that's quite interesting, having just women, like teaching women and what that can give back to them? And
definitely. And I do feel we learn differently. And me can sometimes just be like, do that, do that, do that, off you go. And it's like, my brain doesn't work that way. I'm like, you need to show me a few times and go through exactly what it is that's going to happen here.
Yeah.
And then I'll feel comfortable pulling off on this bike.
Yeah.
But one thing that there is a difference is it's really supportive. So if you're teaching, we've got maybe a group of three or four per instructor, and you see it every time. They start supporting each other the minute, so that there'll be three other girls and one on the bike. They're like, you got this. And they'll be like, yeah, you're riding around. And it's just really nice. It just feels a very supportive space. And no question, like, you ask whatever you want. No one's scared to ask a question.
There's no stupid questions.
Yeah, you feel that fear of, oh, I'm only asking a silly question here. Just go for it.
Yeah.
And I think people, like, the women feel more comfortable asking things about the bike, whereas if you was in CBT, they might not ask the question.
Yeah. Which ultimately doesn't get you anywhere, because then you just end up...
You're not learning what you should.
It just feels very supportive. And you go through things and you just be... always get set. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm like, stop saying sorry. Like, it's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got to stall it.
Yeah.
It's part of learning.
Yeah.
Don't have to say sorry. And I think that's one thing that we do is there's a complete apologize. And I'm like, stop it.
Don't apologize.
Yeah.
You're here to learn. You're going to make mistakes.
Yeah.
I love
how you've merged two passions into one. Would you kind of have any advice for anyone that, you know, does have a few passions on like how to bring them in? I know yours has been quite fluid, the transition.
I know. It has been fluid. And yeah, I think if you have a passion, I found my passion quite late in life in terms of motorcycling. And I didn't know it was going to be a passion till I started doing it and I got my bike and really loved it.
think if you have a passion, find a community.
Like,
go out there and find who else is there, who else likes what you do. Go and find that community, because a lot can happen within a community, as you know. You talk to someone and this will go, oh, that person
can
tell you about this. And then that person recommends you to someone else. So then you will almost start building your own community around you. So I think if you have a passion, whatever it is in life, go out and find the community around it. And there is one around every corner with, you might not realize it, but there is.
Yeah.
And it's finding that. And even just local, like a little community, start there and just listen and learn from other people and what they're doing, and don't rush into anything. You know, what you might be passionate about a certain thing, but there might be a lot of ideas around that you could go into. So keep going into a community, listening and learning and thinking about what you want to do. I think that's the best.
Keeping an open mind.
Yeah.
There's always someone, I feel like, one step ahead of you. You don't have to be looking for the next.
Yeah.
You know, someone that's like achieved like motorcycle across the world, just look for the group that's like the next level up.
Yeah.
And, yeah. I like
just
that.
Find someone local nearby, even if it's just a couple of people. It's like, just go and talk to them. What are their experiences? Learn from them, whatever it is. And then grow it from there, because from there, they'll give you more contacts. You speak to those people. And yeah, just keep an open mind and keep listening and learning, because you'll find so many avenues within a niche that you could go down.
Yeah.
As you know,
there's a
lot of avenues that you could take. It's about choosing one that, so you might have a passion for motorcycling, but like me, it's like I've gelled it with
fashion.
Yeah. Fashion, but there might be a completely different path for somebody else. So yeah, I'd say do that.
Perfect blueprint, sir. I think you're the perfect guest for the perfect blueprint of merging passion together. So what's next then?
Oh God, what is next?
Because I feel like I would say everyone to reach out to Claire if you're thinking of starting a clothing line, but actually don't. She's mine.
You have to get in line.
Yeah, we'll be watching. No, when you were so good at, when I first came to you, you know, I'd already pre-launched She Who Dares Wins and I just got carried away, zero experience. And then I didn't do what I tell everyone to do, which is look out for someone with a bit more experience and reach out.
Yeah.
I learned the hard way. And I think what you're doing is incredible, because you're offering, you know, small businesses or people that want to go into an industry they know nothing about.
Mm.
And you're giving them tools to do that.
Yeah.
Where do you see that growing, or do you just want to keep it as it is?
I love the one-to-one, but that's got a limit on it, because there's only one of me.
Yeah.
So I still want to do it. I'm still really passionate about it. But if I want to help more people, then it has to be more workshops, more group coaching, more digital products that could maybe help someone. And you know, maybe people are not sure of what they want to do yet and they want to dip their toe into it and they're not ready to commit to one-to-one. Maybe then they can go and download something, read it. So I've just started to do digital products in that area. But I really want to help, like, you know, I've helped you, is more people that have already started that are maybe struggling with what to do next.
Yeah.
And it's like, I've launched, now what? We were talking about it earlier and it's like, yeah, you need to now sell it.
Yeah,
you need to market it. So it's about helping those brands as well. And also, it doesn't stop once you've made your first collection, does it?
No,
that's where it starts.
Yeah,
it's literally like
going.
The plan of, and like we said, you know, now we've got to be looking, it's December and we've got to be looking at summer.
You've got to work ahead.
Yeah, and I think I probably said this to you at the start. It's like, I'm not a clothing brand or a community when that's just a side hustle. But the more I get into it, the more I'm getting a passion for essentially developing something that never existed for me growing up, or if it did, it was unobtainable.
You couldn't really find it.
It was all the cool brands that we've talked about that, you know, they just did a token range for women with the designs changed and then on pink. And like, no, I want to create the men's brands, but for women. And that's been quite hard to like navigate through, but with your help, it's been incredible. Are you finding more and more people are kind of trying to find these niches or fix problems that they had that I think when people come to work with me, if they've got an idea where it's a gap in the market or it's coming from a community-driven place, they're the best ways to start.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, here was started on a community. It started as a blog in 2011.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then it grew to an event. Now it grew, and then it grew to the show, and now
restaurant. Shop. I can see where my business is going.
So it's like it grew out of a love and a community around it. So I think if you have that, or if you genuinely can't find something in the market that you're looking for, they're two really good places to start a business, because you'll have more success. If you can't find it, then there's chances that other people can't find it and they're looking for something that's not available. And yeah, community is key, 100%. And like we were saying, if you have a passion and you find that community first and then you build from there, then you're in a much better place to think about where you're going next.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what, just getting into, you've worked with a lot of individuals, a lot of women over time. Fashion industry is notorious for being quite a lot of women in there. What's kind of some of the key things that you think holds women back?
Confidence.
Okay. That imposter syndrome.
Yeah, imposter syndrome. Yeah. I suffer from it. It's like, who am I to do this?
Right.
It's like, when I first started, I was like, I didn't want to go on Instagram and talk about myself, what I do. And I had to hire a confidence coach.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because I was like, who am I to do this? I was like, I really had an issue with mindset. And that's another thing that's really important is mindset. Like, you have to get into the right mindset and you have to say, I'm going to do this. There are going to be sales. It might not happen immediately, but I have to keep pushing to get to where I want to be, and that you can do it. And I think we suffer from it. As women, we all have that fear and that imposter syndrome. It's just
having that confidence.
And when you get the validation, which is quite important, when you get the validation, you think, oh, I'm doing it right. But you're never going to get that validation at the start. I think that's the hardest thing for me. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I've put something out there, but I don't know where there's no validation. It's like pushing through that.
Yeah, it's like, it's hard.
Yeah. It's hard. It's like, I don't know whether it's going to work. I've got to do it.
Yeah.
I've got to push through.
Do you think gut instinct comes in to that?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a mix of everything. It's that gut instinct. It's having the confidence and the mindset and that feel the fear that we started talking about at the beginning. It's a mix of all of those things. You've got to have them all and just go for it. You've got to go for it, haven't you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's
So many people have ideas for a business
and they'll come to me and they go, oh, yeah. I mean, and then they don't take action.
But it could be a great idea.
It could be great. Yeah. Like, you've got to do it. And I think too many people sit and stay in their comfort zone with their idea because they know if they take action, then it's out there for the world to judge it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what stops people.
Yeah.
And it's just like, don't worry about that.
Yeah.
Try it. If it doesn't work, try something else.
Yeah.
Like, don't. People are busy in their lives, right? They're not paying that much attention. So if it doesn't work, don't worry. Like, there's another niche, another thing that you can do. Like, no one would know that I've had failed launches.
Yeah.
They're not paying attention to what I did a year ago. They're paying attention to what I did now. So, you know, we've got short-term memory spans, haven't we? So, you know, try something. Don't be afraid. Like, just give it a go. If it doesn't work, tweak it, come back, try it again. It will eventually, if you're passionate about it, that's going to shine through and it will happen.
Just keeping going.
I think for me, one of the biggest blockers was, and with the clothing line especially, was not really like publicizing it to friends and family. So a lot of friends and family I know follow on socials, but I was just like almost okay that they would never, I always didn't want them to buy anything. I know that sounds really weird, but I wanted validation from elsewhere because I think
we're outsiders.
Because I'm like, then I know it works.
Yes.
And like, actually a friend of mine like ordered this week and I noticed, like, she didn't tell me, and then it popped up and I was like, oh, I know that address is. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. And I've come to terms with it, that's fine. But I think the judgment from friends and family, I don't know how you feel about this, but for me, that was a big one. It's like, okay,
they're going to see all the failures. And now...
Because they know you.
Yeah.
Whereas a stranger doesn't.
Yeah, you don't really care.
So it's like, oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So I think sometimes the inner demons are those closest to you. Like,
you're like, oh, my Auntie Sharon's going to be slagging you right off.
Yeah,
no, it is. Who does she think she is?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, as far as I grew up, like my mum, there's always been this like back and forth with dress. Like, she, bless her, she's always bought me like the nicest dresses, which go great for weddings. But the tomboy in me has always fought that.
Yeah.
And so there was always, yeah, she made a few comments on the initial launch. I think she's changed her mind now. And I was just like, what?
It's
hard, but you've got to realize that. You're forging your own path. Like, this is the,
that's the thing.
You know, if someone else has not done it, it doesn't mean it's wrong.
Yeah.
Judgment.
It's the family, isn't it? And the friends, you're like, keep what are they saying behind the keyboard?
Don't want to hear it. So if your friends and family are someone out there, just keep your, And when you launch, like, so launching my clothing line, I was... Yeah, I think when I initially went out with it, some of the feedback that I was getting was amazing. And then some of the hard feedback is quite hard to take.
So you always focus on the negative.
Yeah. So I remember saying to you, like, there was a lot of keyboard warriors that were like, you know, you say you're all for women, but you don't do up to size like 20, 24. And I was like, I can't, because it's a small business. I'm buying blanks. I'm not mass producing at the factory. Mm. But also there's only so much that I can do. And being okay with that, and not being the keyboard warrior of like,
and you're flying back. Yeah. So again, and it is for, like, there was a brand that I worked with, and they had the same experience. You're not doing these bigger sizes. So they got a backlash, and so they did them and they didn't sell.
I did the same. I did them and they didn't sell. And I was like, and now I've got a load of...
And now they've got these, so they have to discount them. It's about listening. It's really difficult to, you've got to wade through listening to your real customers, and keyboard warriors are two different things.
Yeah.
Listen to who's buying from you and has constructive feedback. Listen to those people. Try and not And it is true. Like, we do get, like, you get one negative comment.
Oh, and it's
and
like,
it's in your mind and you're like, damn it. And you've had really good feedback from everybody else. It's trying to not focus on the negative, focus on the positive. And it is difficult.
I think naturally we're drawn to
the negative.
Yeah.
That's when on social media, like, posts that are really controversial and stuff, they do so well, because we're always attracted to that.
Yeah.
By nature.
Yeah.
All the failed. Yes.
Yeah. So see through the failure.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you've given me so much insight into your life and how to, I think, the key theme was merge your passions and create something that you absolutely love doing.
100%.
And helping people as well. Just to finish off, I'm going to change the Forge Past question, because I think we've already covered that.
Yeah.
What would you say to your younger self that's kind of like starting out, and all the feelings that they have and what you've learned now? What, like, if you were sat in front of your younger self, what would you say
question.
To her? I always bring this one on people and they're like, what?
No, what? I would say, don't be scared to speak up, because I was always scared having an opinion when I was younger. Like, my opinion wasn't valid.
Mm-hmm.
I think that stopped me a lot of the times from speaking what I thought on certain situations. So I'd go back to wings of, don't be afraid to speak out what you think, what you believe. Because it can, you have a voice, basically. I think things are changing now. But there are certain jobs that I did, and I was like, I'm not going to put my hand up and speak. Like, just maybe it's a confidence thing as well, but I would go back and say, use your voice, speak out, speak up for yourself, basically. That'd be my advice to my younger self.
Amazing. Yeah. Well, thank
for
you
someone
so much.
Someone to chat so much as well, saying that.
But it comes with growth, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And sometimes it's hard to get that early on. But if you have that in the back of your mind, then you work towards it. Amazing. Thank you so much
thank you.
For chatting today. It's been incredible.